Now to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, starting from our bulletin. We're going to consider what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about the bruised reeds that Isaiah mentioned in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 12, beginning at the first verse. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. But the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the promises of thy word, the strength of the gospel for our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, for the truth of thy word, and our blessed Savior who fulfilled all thy law. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst bless us and the preaching of thy word, build up our souls, strengthen us in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus did always those things that were right and good. It may look sometimes as if the Lord Jesus didn't obey all of the law, but that is a very ridiculous notion, because he came to fulfill the law. He came to obey the law. He didn't obey all of the little minute details and rules and legislations that the Pharisees interpreted the law as being, but the Lord went about doing good, including on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is given to us for worship, the whole day of it, but we are to do good as well on the Sabbath day. And then he seems to incite the wrath of the Pharisees by going into the synagogue and healing a man. Again, he's doing good. on the Sabbath day. Could that healing have waited for 24 hours? It certainly could have, but the Lord determined that he was going to do good upon the Sabbath day. It seems as though then the Pharisees were aggravated, not that he was doing it to be provocative, not that he was trying to evoke an argument or a discussion out of them, but he did what was good, and it annoyed them. It frustrated them to a great extreme. The Pharisees, it says in verse 14, went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. So they wanted him out of the way. All of his gospel obedience to the law was upsetting to them. The good that he did was upsetting to them. And in all of these things, he was showing himself to be God. And that is the way with righteousness. The world will hate you when you display the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of the law. That when you judge righteous judgment, they will oppose you. And it incites their wrath. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to show forth righteousness, to show forth the truth. And it provokes and draws out, really, those who are wicked and sinful. And they oppose that law. But the Lord here then gives a word of encouragement to those who are bruised reeds. Now, there are times when we may very much feel like we're bruised reeds. The Lord Jesus of Christ, of course, was not a bruised reed. He was strong in all of his ways. He's very God, very God in the flesh. But he came to minister to those who were bruised reeds and smoking flax. Life can overwhelm us sometimes. It can be filled with discouragements or setbacks or things that arise that we didn't expect. And we can easily become discouraged in that way. You often feel your faith to be feeble and weak. We feel as though we need great faith to serve the Lord in a day of great opposition and a day of great evil. And we may feel, I'm not up to this. I'm feeble. I'm very, very weak. So the Lord gives to those who are feeble and weak a special promise of his love through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here that the Lord Jesus Christ, although he ministered very openly, that he was also secretive. He didn't defend himself from the plotting of the Pharisees, as we've already read. They held counsel against him how they might destroy him. Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So he wasn't there. There are times when he engages the Pharisees, confronts them with their evil and their hypocrisies. But here he just withdraws himself. And he said, you can decide whatever you want. You can plan and plot all you want. But my life is in the hands of the Lord. I'm going to continue to minister. So he withdraws and doesn't respond to their hatred at this time. He didn't get distracted by those who hated him. Very, very confident he was in the will of God, that he was appointed to die for his people. That appointed time was yet to come. He focused very much on his calling. And that's a good encouragement, beloved, for you and I when we're discouraged, to focus on our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are priests and kings unto the Lord. That's our standing. We may not feel like it very often because the world doesn't treat us like priests and kings, does it? It doesn't appreciate the dignity that we have in Christ. But Christ says that's who you are unto me, unto your God, your kings and priests, unto God. So your standing is very important to be aware of. It helps us to focus in that way. So he preached, he healed, he continued to do good. And serve the Lord in meekness, doing the Father's will. In verse 18, as he's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." So he was doing the Father's will. He was the servant of the Most High God. And interesting, in verse 16, he says he charged them that they should not make him known. So all of these things would be exposed in due time. It would all be openly declared in due time. But he said, for now, I'm having, in a way, a secret ministry, a subdued ministry. Not hidden as such, but not openly advertised either. So he, according to the prophecy in Isaiah in verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. So he wasn't broadcasting everything in a loud and boisterous way. He came to minister to the meek. So our Savior was secretive, but he was also set apart as the Lord's suffering servant. My servant, verse 18, my servant whom I have chosen. He was appointed to save the sins of his people. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Verse 18 again. And I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So here was Christ set apart for this work, for the saving of the souls of men, but also to minister to those who were meek and lowly. And our Savior then also is sympathetic. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. And the word here is used of someone who is in distress. The Lord Jesus had a blessing. Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are meek and lowly. And the Lord said, I have a special work for them. So he doesn't look for signs of strength, but signs of weakness, rather. And that's so contrary to the ways of the world, isn't it? The world loves strength, power, aggression. But the Lord says, I look for the contrite heart. I put down the proud, and I lift up those who are humble. So these are the strength, and it's in the weakness, the Lord says, that I will show myself strong. Richard Sibbes, the Puritan, said, the church is compared to weak things, to a dove amongst the fowls, to a vine amongst the plants, to sheep amongst the beasts, to a woman, which is the weaker vessel. So that's specifically how the Lord describes his church. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. That's not very encouraging, is it? But he said, there are wolves all around you. You're only sheep. But I'm going to protect you. I'm going to go with you and be with you and do the work through you that needs to be done for the gospel. So we think of a reed or a flax, just spindly little things. You see the flax floating in the wind. Nothing really much to hold it up. A reed, but not just a reed, but a bruised reed. It's ready to just fall over, ready to break off. And the Lord sees that reed that's bruised. He sees the smoking flax. It's not even on flame yet. It's just still smoking. And rather than snuff it out, he tenderly blows on it. And he brings light. He brings power. He brings a flame. These are things ready to be extinguished. J.C. Ryle says, the simplest explanation seems to be that the Holy Ghost is here describing persons whose grace is at present weak, whose repentance is feeble and whose faith is small. Toward such persons, the Lord Jesus Christ will be very tender and compassionate. Those are sometimes the reasons why we think Christ has abandoned us. Isn't it easy to think, I'm weak, I'm a failure, things are, I have sinned, I'm not a faithful witness to God's saving grace, and he has every reason to cast me off and to set me aside. But the gospel is the very opposite, isn't it? The gospel says Jesus comes to minister to those people who feel and who know their weakness. They're the ones that he has come to strengthen. They're the ones that he ministers to. The ones not only that the world often thinks are least likely recipients of God's grace, but sometimes even people in the church. And we easily despise weakness when Christ ministers to it. Let me read at length here also from more of Richard Sibbes. He says, men for the most part are not lost enough in their own feeling for a Savior. Isn't that a great truth? We often just don't really feel that we need a Savior. We glory in our independence and in our strength. And it's in our lostness, beloved, that we feel our need of a Savior. He says, a holy despair in us is the ground of true hope. In the God of the fatherless, find mercy. The God who dwells in the highest heaven dwells likewise in the lowest soul. Christ's sheep are weak sheep and lacking in something or other. He, therefore, applies himself to the necessities of every sheep. He seeks that which was lost and binds up that which was broken and strengthens the weak. His tenderest care is over the weakest, the lambs he carries in his bosom. He says to Peter, feed my lambs. He was most familiar and open to troubled souls. How careful he was that Peter and the rest of the apostles should not be too much dejected after his resurrection. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Christ knew that guilt of their unkindness in leaving of him had dejected their spirits. How gently he endured the unbelief of Thomas and stooped so far unto his weakness as to suffer him to thrust his hand into his side. So Christ, in the failures of the disciples, they were weak, they were mistrusting, they were often fearful. And the Lord ministers to them. He encourages them. Fear not. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in their fear, he ministers to them. So, beloved, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in our weakness, with our fears, in our despair, in our discouragements. We come with our sinfulness for forgiveness. We come with everything that we know we should be but are not. The Lord says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful passage this is. It's a comfort that I need in these days. So I hope it's a comfort that you need, that you're just a bruised reed. You're just a quenching flax, smoking flax. He said, I'm not going to come and extinguish that. I'm not going to come and snuff that out. So those who are ready to come to Christ for recovery, and say, it's in Christ. He's not going to despise me if I come to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that a great comfort? A lot of times you just feel like, I'm not worthy to come to the Lord. I'm a failure. I failed him. He's loved me so passionately. He's provided for me so faithfully. And here I've let him down. I've disobeyed him. But to have the Lord say, come to me. I'll fix it. I'm going to make you well again. So These are the people who see their bruising as coming from God. And the Lord uses means, doesn't he, to bruise you. There are people, there are events, there are things that happen to you that cause you to be discouraged or to despair. But in all of these things, God is always the first cause, isn't he? He brings those things, or he allows those things, so that you will be driven to the Lord. We have such a low view of the sovereignty of God. But to see God's hand in these things, to be able to say with David in Psalm 51, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Well, who broke those bones? It seems to me that David broke those bones by his sin and by his disobedience, but God allowed it. We have trouble understanding how or why, but it's a precious thing to see how David is restored. And we have the wonderful blessing of Psalm 51 to comfort our souls in driving us to Christ, not make us comfortable in sin. It's never to make us comfortable in our sin, but to bring us to Christ and to say, could God love me? Could Christ love me even after what I've done, even after what I've said, even after I've been faithless and failing? So the Lord grabs your attention in this way and brings you to himself again. So Christ invites us to find comfort in himself. And Christ's work shall surely succeed. He says in verse 20 again, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. So the Lord will bring strength. The Lord will bring victory. We don't know how or when, but surely we are looking for that victory of the final day, when the Lord will vindicate his truth, will vindicate his people. And those weak ones, the world says, you're weak, you're powerless. But as we stand with Christ, Christ is going to say, no, those are my own. And I will own them on that last day. So Christ's work will surely succeed, bringing victory to his weak saints. Charles Spurgeon said, this is the lot of each Christian. He shall triumph through his dear Redeemer's name. And the Lord does bring victory that the world knows nothing of. Victory over sin. Victory over guilt of sin. Victory over discouragements. And to the Gentiles, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So he brings worldwide, he brings to every tribe and nation, kindred and tongue, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, in these days, are you a bruised reed or a smoking flax? Are you aware of your frailty, your weakness? Are you aware of those things that you have great need of, the strength of the Lord? The Lord says, you are the focus of my attention. You are the focus of my saving energy, my sanctifying energy. I will work this work within you that you cannot do. So in your despair, don't remain in the place of despair. Bring that despair to Christ. Bring it to him for healing and for encouragement. Bring it to him for perspective and understanding, that he may know your despair and that he may heal you with it, that encouragement. You feel, beloved, that your lamp is ready to go out, and that may be extinguished at any time. And the Lord will never do that. The message that I was previously working on that needs a little more work was on perseverance. We want to look at that next week, Lord willing. Perseverance of the saints. The Lord will never leave or forsake his people. If you have the light of the gospel, the true light of the gospel in your heart, the Lord Jesus will never allow that to be extinguished. We can have doubts and fears. Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ without fear, without reticence, without hesitation. Tell the Lord, I have doubts. I have questions. I don't know what's happening with my life. There are portions of your word I have trouble believing. And many times you can say, I believe, help my unbelief. I need you to help me to have the faith that I need to deliver me from all of my fears. The Lord loves to hear those prayers from his people, to admit your weakness and confess his strength, his covenant faithfulness, his enduring love towards you. Is there a sin, beloved, that you think that God would not forgive that can really hamper the Christian life? And we might not think, well, I've committed the unpardonable sin, but sometimes there are sins that just hamper us so much that we just feel that God won't or hasn't forgiven them, and we need to bring them to him afresh. And sometimes we have to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because it's Satan that is trying to bring us down by calling up past sins. But Christ will always forgive, and his blood covers every sin. To know the intensity of your sin, the greatness of your sin, is to be driven to confess the even greater grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all of this, beloved, God wants you to behold his servant. All of your inadequacies, all of your weakness are meant to bring you to a fresh vision of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the magnificence of his love, the vastness of his grace. He speaks often in a small, still voice. Doesn't speak in the thunder or in the earthquake or in the mighty wind, but he comes with a still small voice, and he speaks peace to the troubled heart. You see Christ as the only one sometimes who will not kick you when you're down. When you're discouraged, others may laugh at you and mock at you and kick you, but Christ will come and compassionately, tenderly, lovingly pick you up and walk with you. He's a glorious Savior who ministers to us. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to minister his grace, to minister his love and his strength. And to know that the Gentiles specifically have been appointed to salvation is a glorious thing when we know that we are, I think everyone here is a Gentile. None of us maybe have a little bit of Jewish blood, I don't know, but by and large, we're Gentiles, and we're glad for that good news that was spread throughout all the world in the early days of the church, and now is extended sometimes to generations past, and has come down to us in the gospel. The Lord Jesus is gracious. He's loving, beloved. Be encouraged. If you're a bruised reed in a smoking flax, the Lord will love you, and will restore you once again. Let us have that renewed hope in him and in him alone. Let us pray. O Lord our God, thy name is great and greatly to be praised. We come unto thee, Lord, in our weakness and our discouragements. We pray, O Lord, that thou would strengthen us, that thou would make us to look unto thee, to look past our circumstances, to look beyond our failings, and to see in Christ the glories of one who ministers to the weak and the lowly. We thank thee that our Lord himself was full of meekness and yet full of grace and truth. We pray, Lord, that he may be our all in all, that we may desire him with all our hearts, that we may call upon him day by day. Especially, Lord, deliver us unto Christ in times of discouragement and despair, that we may find that hope in him alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.